discuss this evening a topic of authority in regards to the religious realm. It's a topic I know we talk a lot about here, and it's one that I think is of uttermost importance. It's one that I've dealt with, and there's so many more lessons that I could possibly do in one lesson. We could go on and on and on with that topic, but probably just scratch the surface a little bit on it here this evening. But I want to understand why is authority such an important matter when we talk about the Lord's church? You know, when we look around us today, we see the result of those not respecting God's authority in all things. We see those in the denominational realm, the division that has stemmed, the direct result from not adhering to God's authority in all matters. And sadly, now we see a departure from authority in many of the churches of Christ. We see such things as the inclusion of instrumental music and debates over various topics, and it all stems from, sadly, not relying on God's authority in all things. Division, disagreement, all these things are a direct result from the failure to adhere to godly authority. And the danger in that is it's sin. It causes sin when we don't appeal to God for our only authority. Why do we have disagreements on instrumental music? Why do we have debate over whether or not water baptism is necessary? Why do some people partake of the Lord's Supper every week and others don't? Why do they do it just a couple times a year? There's so many questions you could go on and on with. But as Donnie alluded to this morning, it can all be summed up. And every question that we can ask can be answered when we refer to the standard of authority in God's Word. It doesn't matter what the question is. So when there's division, when there's disagreement, you can rest assured that godly authority has been ignored. That's something we need to understand, that total agreement comes only through complete submission to God and His Word in all matters. That's the only way you'll ever have complete agreement. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 23, Jesus there has a conversation with the Jewish chief priests and elders. And from that conversation, we see that although the chief priests and elders didn't agree or approve of what Jesus was teaching, and although they sought to put a silence to Him, they at least understood or showed common ground on the basic need for authority. Look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. It says, "Now when He came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Him as He was teaching and said, 'By what authority are You doing these things? And who gave You this authority?' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, He will say to us, why then did you not believe Him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.' And He said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" So, of course, we know the chief priests and elders here, by the questions that they asked Jesus, sought to set a trap or a snare for Jesus so that they might charge Him with something. But notice their question here. It says, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" So at the very least, there was an understanding, there was a common ground there on the importance of authority in religious matters. And of course, we see by the way that Jesus answered him there, He put a silence to him. He outsmarted them. He escaped that snare that they had set for Him. But the point I want you to notice is authority is necessary in matters of religion. Authority is necessary in the Lord's church. And that authority must come from the one who has the power to give it. That's the only place authority can come from. Authority doesn't come from someone simply because they have a good idea on something, simply because they have a thought on something. That doesn't give them the right. It doesn't make them authority on anything. Man doesn't possess that authority, but the Bible tells us who does. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" So we see here Jesus has all power and authority. And so therefore, since He is the authority in our lives, we must be subject to Him because He has that authority. Look at verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what does it mean to become or to be a disciple of Christ? Verse 20, to observe all things commanded by Christ. A disciple of Christ is one who follows the things commanded by Christ, because he has the authority in all matters. The word authority there in Matthew chapter 28 and 18, I have the New King James Version. I think in the King James Version it's rendered power. The word authority is rendered power there. And according to Vines, that word simply means the power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. The power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. Christ is that authority. Therefore, we must obey him. We have laws in our land given to us. We must obey those laws. Or we realize there is a penalty for not obeying, but they must be obeyed. We talked about that word must this morning. Brother Donnie did in his lesson. Since Christ is the authority, since he has been given that power, we must obey him. It's a must. We see many in the denominational realm observing man-made creeds. Maybe you've seen them in little booklets. They could be written down. Maybe they're unwritten creeds, man-made traditions. But they involve such things, these creeds do, as far as defining doctrine. Creeds that define procedures for organization, creeds that define the way the church should operate. But they're man's ideas. They're not ideas in God's Word. They're not Christ's ideas, these creeds. Maybe they'll take a little bit of what Christ thinks, take a little bit of godly authority, mix it with their own, and make these creeds. But it's so dangerous. In other words, these denominations operate upon their own authority, going beyond the authority given in the Word of God. And practicing these things is not pleasing to God. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." In other words, if you've died from the world, if you now follow Christ, why do you still adhere to the commandments of the world? Why do you still hold on to those things? We must regard God's commands above all, acting only with the authority given by Christ under the new law. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and mind and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Again, Christ is that authority. He is the head over the church in all things. And because of that, we have to submit to him in all things. In all things. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." The church is subject unto Christ because he is the head of it. There is no other head. We all follow under that headship of Christ. There's no exception to that. That's the relationship that the church has with Christ. He being the head and all others be in subjection to him and his commandments. And therefore we must follow all that Jesus taught. I've heard the argument, maybe not an argument, but the statement made, what about what the apostles taught? What about the other writings in the Bible? Do we need to follow those too? Why do we need to follow these? These are men's writings. And we understand it as Christians that they're not. And we understand that even after Jesus ascended, what the apostles taught, we still must follow. Look at Acts chapter 1. And verse 1 says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen." Drop down to verse 7. It says, "And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So we realize the things taught by the apostles were not their own ideas. They weren't their own thoughts. But they were given to them by heavenly authority through the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So we understand that the things they taught were things that were revealed to them. The teachings were not of their own thoughts or ideas. And therefore, because they were given from this higher authority, we are subject to their truth. Look at John, 2 John, verse 9. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him to your house, nor greet him." So what must we do to remain in fellowship with God? We're told to abide in his doctrine. Following and acting upon his authority, not our own, or not any other man. We must require book, chapter, verse. We must have authority for all things that we do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we have there the example of King Uzziah and how he acted upon his own authority and not the authority given by God's law. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Realize that King Uzziah was very successful early on. He had built himself up. He was strong in all that he did. And maybe because of his pride, it caused his downfall. Look at 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16. It says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God.' Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead. before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. You see, under the old law, only the priests were authorized to burn this incense. Here King Uzziah disregarded God's law, didn't he? He acted upon his own authority. He made himself his own source of authority. And because of his utter disregard, he was punished with this leprosy. And according to verse 21, it's something that he had until the day that he died. Of course, we know that we're not under that same law today, but I think it does serve as a good example of what happens when we go beyond the authority of God. When man thinks of himself more highly than he ought to. When man is so arrogant to think that we can use our own authority to put in our own thoughts and ideas in matters of religion. It's an arrogant attitude on man's behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The church of Corinth here had abused the Lord's Supper, we read, and it's probably a story we're all familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. It says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if one is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." So they had made the Lord's Supper here into a mere common meal. They had failed to discern, failed to recognize the significance of the Lord's Supper. They had failed to partake it and give it its proper reverence, hadn't they? The church had no authority for the common feast like the one they were observing. And we see Paul's concern here for this, and we see his correction of that. And he said, this is what is instructed. Here is the example you were given. Here is why you are to partake of the Lord's Supper. Here is how you are to do it. They were to recognize what the Lord's Supper represented and observe it within the authority given by Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Failure to do that was, and still is today, a failure to follow godly authority. We're told in Acts 20 and verse 7 that we are to partake upon the first day of the week. We don't have the authority to do it on any other day. That's the authority that we have. Failure to observe that is sin. What about the topic of instrumental music in worship? We have here a pattern given in the New Testament for this. We have examples of early Christians singing, and not one time do we find that they used musical instrumentation. Not one time. Let's look at some of these verses. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. Again, just to get us thinking about authority, why we do the things we do. how we are to do them. We must have authority in all things. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30 says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts 16 and verse 25 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Romans 15 and verse 9. Romans 15 and verse 9. "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will sing, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding." Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." A couple more. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." James 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. There's the pattern they sing. Not with accompaniment of musical instruments. Not one time that I can find. Not one time. They lifted their voices and they sang. Likewise, we are commanded to sing. But we don't have the authority to go beyond that. That's what we have the authority, and that's what we have the commandment to do, is to sing. We don't have the authority given for instrumental music. Some have tried to argue, and it's been brought up in lesson after lesson, saying that, well, David used it in the Old Testament. So if they use it in the Bible, surely we could use it today. And they're right, they did use it back then, but what they failed to acknowledge, and what we looked at just a few minutes ago, is that we today are in subjection to the authority of Jesus Christ in the New Covenant that was brought about by the shedding of His blood. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Under the New Covenant, brought into effect by Jesus, today we're under a new law. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12. It says, "For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of law." So we're under a new law. And nowhere in the new law are we authorized to use instrumental music. And again, you could probably go into more detail on this lesson, but just an example of authority. Others say, well, it doesn't say not to. But in doing that, they ignore the pattern given. They ignore God's pattern. What has been revealed, the pattern given, is a pattern given by God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We understand God's Word is just that. It's God's Word. And in that Word, we're given authority for everything that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We must observe, and we must rightly divide those things that have been revealed to us by God. He's revealed these things for our benefit. That includes the patterns revealed in His Word. Going beyond that, going beyond what has been revealed to us in His Word, is to go beyond His authority. And we don't have the right to do that, because we have no authority in that. Our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ, we don't have that authority. Christ has been given that authority. In Exodus chapter 25, we notice there how God instructed the children of Israel to build the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." They were to build it according to the pattern given by God. And the word pattern simply means, and it may be translated in some of your Bibles as the word form. So pattern is a form. It is an example. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 that Brother C.L. read for us just a few minutes ago, notice Paul's instruction for Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Jesus Christ." So Timothy here was to hold fast the pattern or the form of doctrine that he had been taught. And it's that same form or that same pattern of doctrine or teaching that is to be taught now without change from generation to generation. There's no change that is to be done to that pattern. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you see this doctrine that was taught, these things that had been taught, were to be taught to other faithful men that they may teach, and that they may teach, and so on, from generation to generation. And that these things that were taught would never change, because there is no authority on man's behalf to change it. Paul gives a warning in 2 Timothy chapter 4 concerning the things that were to come and things that have come. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." And again, we see it all around us today, those who have replaced the authority of Christ with the authority of man. The result has been the departure from sound doctrine, confusion, division, disagreement, you name it. But it all starts from the lack of respect for God's authority. All because man has refused to speak where the Scripture speaks and remain silent where it is silent. We've been charged to do that. Timothy's responsibility that he was charged with is the same responsibility you and I have today. You look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." We are charged with the same thing today, to uphold truth, to preach the word, to practice sound doctrine. Again, but that starts with submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. "So these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." We must know and conform ourselves individually and collectively to the instruction freely given to us in God's Word. We are to conduct ourselves based upon what is authorized in God's Word. That's it. We don't go beyond that. That's how we are to conduct ourselves, carrying out the responsibilities as a collective as authorized by God's Word. As individual members as well, we must we're obligated to submit and to act under the authority of Christ, the head of the church. Submitting to the authority of Christ settles all matters. It settles all disagreements. It settles all division. It has an answer for every question when we go to God's Word. There's an answer for every question. Brother Donnie, in his lesson this morning, presented God's plan of salvation, the pattern that is given there, the only way that man can be saved from sin. That pattern for man's salvation was given with heavenly authority. It's the only way that man can be saved, because it came with authority. That plan came with authority. It's the only way authorized by God for remission of sin. It's the one and only plan for man's salvation. So this evening, we ask ourselves the question, if you've not obeyed, will you submit to that authority? Will you obey the things that have been revealed to us in God's Word? If you have never obeyed, you have a chance to do that tonight. If you have, but for some reason you've fallen away, you have a chance to make that right tonight. Don't leave here tonight without being in a right relationship with God. As together we stand and sing.